chapter 2 and verse number 9. We are going to continue our study. Our theme for 2015 is the purpose of the church in the world. And look at your neighbor and tell them you have a purpose. We are not just here simply to be redeemed, although we certainly thank God for that. Amen? But we have a purpose to serve while we are here. To our guests, we welcome you. We are thankful you are with us on our Wednesday night Bible study. We pray the Lord bless and touch you mightily. It's good to see Brother Collins and Brother Bass, and I believe his wife to his right, and they are celebrating their 16th anniversary, and we certainly congratulate them concerning that. Brother Collins ministered to us last Wednesday, and what an incredible message he delivered to this church. We were greatly, greatly blessed. The word of the Lord says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Father, we thank you for your power, your anointing, your word. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you use this vessel tonight. Let the name of Jesus be lifted up and glorified. We ask that you minister to this wonderful congregation here this evening. God, that we would grow in strength and wisdom and word and go forth and fulfill our purpose in the kingdom of God. Our purpose in this world that is lost and undone without you. We need you, Jesus. We need you. Help us tonight. We ask it in the wonderful, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. The Lord has taken us on a journey for the last few years. We started out 3 years ago with a year of intimacy with God. We became intimate with him in the word, intimate in prayer. Then he moved us on to a year of power. We learned that when you become intimate with God, you receive the power of God. And for a year, he talked to us about his power. Last year, we entered into a year of works with God. I know we live in a generation, a religious generation, that is trying to nullify the power and the effects of the works of the church. But the Bible makes it very plain. Your faith without works is dead. In fact, we learned in the Word of God that if you have faith, you will have works. The fact that you do not have works is because you actually do not have faith. You may profess it with your mouth, but you do not have it in your heart. There's something about the heart of man. Whatever is in the heart of man, it has a way of coming to the surface. Hang around somebody long enough and you'll find out really just who they are. You may hide it for a little while, but you can't hide it forever. And that goes for the power and the glory and the anointing of God. If God's word and his spirit is inside of you, it will come to the surface. You will go to work for the kingdom of God. Can you clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise? The Lord laid upon the heart of your pastor into the hearts of the ministry of this church. God is going to take us on a journey in 2015 into the purpose of the church. When you bring intimacy and power and works and you bring them together, I want to tell you, nothing can stop our purpose in this world. When we learn what it is from God in His Word that He has called us to do as His body, we will go forth as a mighty army, and there is no devil in hell that will prevent or stop us. I'm telling you tonight that I am speaking right now into the ears of the most powerful people on the planet. What the church is able to do, political power will never accomplish. What the church is able to do, education will never accomplish. What the church is able to do, money will never accomplish. So don't you let the devil lie to you. The rich are not more powerful than you. The educated are not more powerful than you. The political powers of this world are not more powerful than you. If you are bought by the blood, baptized in His name, filled with His power, you are the most powerful person upon this planet. And when we get a hold of our purpose, we will turn this world upside down for God. Somebody shout, I got a purpose. We learned a couple of Wednesdays ago, we launched off scratching the surface of this inexhaustible subject of the purpose of the church in the world. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Prior to that, we talked about the fact that we are the body. Say, I am the body of Christ. Colossians 1 and 24 tells us, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. The church is not just some organization. It is not just some gathering of people to make one another feel a little better about ourselves. The church is not a crutch that I lean on to be able to make it in this world. The church is the body of Christ. That means He's the head. That means He controls me in every aspect of me. He controls His body in every aspect of His body. And somehow we've got to line this body up with the head that we can do a work in the world that certainly needs salvation. We learned as the body. We talked about it. We just barely touched it. We'll revisit it later in the year. But we learned as the body that we are fitly joined together. I think that's one of the most powerful things about being a part of the body of Christ. When you're really in the body, you will not purposely, for any reason, hurt your brother or your sister. That would be silly. Who would pick up a hammer and smash their own finger, thinking because they're mad at their finger, thinking that they will prove something? That doesn't make any sense at all. So why would we attack one another when we are all a part of the body? We are fitly joined together. I'm excited to say today, when I have a problem, I've got brothers and sisters I can go to who will pray for me, encourage me, strengthen me, and help me. We live in a world where they will stab you in the back and they will talk about you and come against you just to see themselves be promoted, just to get ahead in a job or to look good in front of someone else. Far be it from the body of Christ. If you want to be exalted, then abase yourself. If you want to be out front, then get behind and push. If you want to go up, learn how to get down and dirty, and God will exalt you. It's the body of Christ. Because we are the body of Christ, we learned that all things that are subjected unto Him are subjected unto us. He said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We learn that we are to show forth His praise. It is one of the purposes of the church. 1 Peter 2 and 9. And I'm going to try to get to my teaching tonight, but I just want to bring us up to par. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that what? That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen, the world's not going to praise Him. Political powers are not going to praise Him. They're using their powers to remove God out of schools, out of the lives of our children, because they know if they can remove God out of their life, they will raise a generation that will become carnal and heathen minded thinking, and they will be able then to do in the world what it is they want to do. But let me stop here with a footnote. I got news for you, devil. As long as the church is in the world, hear me, devil, as long as the church is in the world, we will cast you out. We will cast you off. We will heal diseases. We will put marriages back together. We will bring deliverance. We will bring healing. Because we are the body of Christ. We come to show His praise. The world will not praise Him. Jesus said, if you shut the mouths of these precious babes, then the rocks will rip, the stones will tear apart, the ground will shake, and praise will come forth. I want to tell you, friend, praise is powerful. Just understand that when you open your mouth, that you're releasing something so powerful that it's able to rip this world in half. It sounds like to me, I need to learn to praise Him a little more often. I need to learn to praise Him a little louder, a little stronger, a little more fervent. Somebody say, I'm a praiser. We are to praise Him. The devil, we talked about, he took praise out of the church and he put it in the sports arena. He took it out of the church and he put it on the dance floor. He took it out of the church and he put it in the boardroom. People go to their churches, they fold their hands, they sit quietly upon their church pew while the Almighty who created all things is trying to reach them. But when they get up from that seat and they go to the arena, they shout to the top of their lungs. When they go to the ballroom, they shout to the top of their lungs. When they go to the dance hall, they shout to the top of their lungs. Apostolics, we've come to serve notice on the devil. We will not give up our praise. We will praise Him with all of our heart. Psalms 1 and 50, we read it. Praise Him in the sanctuary, the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts, His excellent greatness. Praise Him on the trumpets and the psalteries and the harp and the trembles and the dance, the string instruments and the organs and the loud sounding cymbals and the high sounding cymbals. Everyone stand to your feet right now, if you will, real quick, please. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We are your body. We will show forth the praises of Him that called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Lord bless you. You can be seated. Praise is not an option. It is a command. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. worship the Lord. And I love this in the beauty of holiness. You're called out. You're made separate. You're peculiar. You're holy. I've separated you. It's the beauty of holiness. It's the beauty. Let me tell you, when God sees his bride in holiness, it's like the groom seeing his bride come down that aisle in a beautiful white dress. It gets God excited. We'll talk about that later. I want to continue with this subject tonight on the purpose of the church. It's to show forth the praises of our God. Now, our text, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now look how he begins this verse. I'm not going to go in details on this. We touched on it last Wednesday. But he talks about you are chosen. Not just anybody can praise God. They might open up their mouth and send up adorations, but let me tell you, you have to be chosen. He said, you have not chosen me, I've chosen you. Isn't that how it works? The groom don't just show up at the wedding and any old bride walks through the door and married. No, he chose her long before that day ever arrived. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I put royalty in you. You are a holy nation. I've called you out of the ungodly. You're a peculiar people. We looked at that last couple of Wednesday nights ago. We looked at that. That means you're distinguished from everything else. And my favorite saying, one of these things are not like the other things, comes from Sesame Street. It's an incredibly wise statement. And the church is peculiar. Now, why are we all these things? That we would show forth, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us or you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Don, I'm so sorry. I didn't give you the scriptures, sweetie. Just follow me the best you can. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Now I want you to look at this. That he might redeem us from all iniquity. So why did God give himself for us? Redeem us from what? So don't you let the religious world make you think that when you were redeemed, you can continue to live like you used to live. Listen, if you were okay when he found you, then he would have left you. He said, the whole don't need a physician. If you didn't need healing, he'd have never came to you. He said, it's the sick that need a physician. He redeemed us from all iniquity. Now look at this. Stay with me for a little bit. I'm barely going to get to my teaching tonight, but that's okay. We got a year. Redeemed us from all iniquity and purified unto himself. Here it is again. A peculiar people. A distinguished people. Set apart. Noticeable from the rest. Something sets them apart. Look at the last part of this verse. Zealous of good, the body of Christ goes to work. Okay, let's continue. We'll deal with that verse a little later. The word peculiar means that they were distinguished from others. He distinguishes us from others. Why? That we are able to show forth His praises. If we look like the world, if we act like the world, if we talk like the world, if we walk like the world, if you cannot tell me the difference between the world, then when I go to praising, you will have no clue who I'm praising. You might think I'm praising Hollywood. You might think that I'm getting excited about, what do they call professional wrestling? Professional wrestling, that's an extremely unique name. But they got titles like WBMC or something. Whoa, WWB, stand up, brother. That's why that man right there knows what WWB is. Look at the size of that guy. You could be seated, Jill. They might think I'm shouting about some champion in a wrestling ring or some game or something. No, but when I am separated from the world, when I am peculiar and different and praise comes out of me, they're going to go, I wonder what they're shouting about, because they're not with that crowd. They're not with that crowd. They're not with that crowd. And the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. I'm telling you, church, when we begin to praise our God, we are set apart. Now, if we remain indistinguishable from the world, there would be nothing to show concerning our God and what He is able to do for us, and what it means to be brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. But when God finds us, He doesn't leave us where He found us. He said, I found you in darkness, but I put you in my marvelous light. I cleansed you from all iniquities. I separated you from the works of the flesh. I divided you from the carnality and the lust of the flesh. I made you distinguishable from everybody else. Why? So that a dark, lost, undone, ungodly world could see a glimmer of light, of hope that will deliver and set them free. I'm trying to talk to us about the purpose of the church. I'm not going to get on it tonight, but it's the reason why a pastor will stand in this pulpit sometime in the near future, and I will begin to preach to you about certain things that are not wrong, that are wrong, and that if we are called out, we are no longer to dress that way. We are no longer to go to those places. We are no longer to do those things. Why? Because if we blend in the world cannot tell, the world cannot see. But if we come out of iniquity, the world has a chance. It is one of the greatest purposes of the church in the world today. And if we ever needed to shine, we need to shine now. If we ever needed our lights to be bright, they need to be bright in this generation. We're living, I tell you, I'm not going to get on this here this evening, but we are living in a generation that the Bible calls it an untoward generation. That means a generation that's going away from God. And it seems like every day it's getting faster and faster and faster. It's like gravity. It's the gravity of sin. If you drop something, the first second, it'll be traveling 32 feet a second. But gravity pulls at 32 feet per second squared. That means every second, gravity is increasing its pull upon that object. It is speeding up exponentially. It is falling had set at such an increase of rate into wherever the source of the gravity is. And it's the same thing that sin is doing to the world. It seems like every day we get up, the world is going faster and faster away from God. It seems like every time you turn on your radio and listen to the news, that you hear things that you say to yourself, I never dreamed I would have ever seen the day that this United States of America would do such a thing. When 78% of a nation votes no to same-sex marriage, yet the Supreme Court of the nation, as well as Supreme Courts of the state, overrule your vote and my vote and say, you don't matter. It's going to be this way anyhow. We are heading down a dark tunnel. And I'm telling you, somewheres in that dark tunnel needs to be a church that stood its ground, didn't bend or give or yield. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. That's why sometimes pastor kind of gets a little upset when some will come to him and say, Pastor, is it okay if we do this? And I think to myself, why are you wanting to get so close to the borderline? Why not get so deep in God, that when the world sees you, there's no doubt you are called out. Clap your hands to the Lord. It is one of the greatest callings and purposes of the church in the world. And that is to turn on our light, that they might be able to see. So I beg you, the Spirit begs you, stop compromising your walk with God. I pray by the help of the Holy Ghost in the months to come that God will help your pastor to slowly nudge this ship back in the direction of the purpose of the Almighty. I don't care where that one falls off, or that one falls off, or how that one gives up on that, or that one quits this, and this one over here says, well, it's not necessary anymore. As for the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, we're staying in the book. And when I pick up this book and this book changes, I'll change with it. But the Bible says it's forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one dot, not one tittle of his word shall pass away. Oh, I wish you'd love this like God wants us to love it. One of the greatest purposes of the church is to be able to walk out of this building, and everybody that sees you knows. I was in a public place today, and by no means is this the only thing that separates us. In fact, it's only a very small, small part that separates us. Separation comes from the heart. I hope you understand that. Holiness is of the heart. Righteousness is not your righteousness, it's his righteousness in you. I hope you understand that. But when we get righteousness in us, it can't help but to come out. My wife and I were sitting in a public place today, and we saw a lady get up a few rows up. We didn't see her when we came in, and we came in and we sat down, and then about 20 minutes went by. We were busy doing some things, and a lady got up, and we looked up. And we said, Oh, look, it's an apostolic. Now, how on earth? There were 50 people in that room. Why didn't I say that one was an apostolic? Why didn't I say that one was an apostolic? Or that, no, because there was only one of these things, not like the other things. I'm going to preach on that all year. One of these things are not like the other things. And the church will never be like the world. Do you hear me? The church, I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about gatherings. I'm not talking about people that proclaim. I'm talking about His body. It will never look like the world. It will never talk like the world. It will never dress like the world. It will never act like the world. And she got up, and I said, look, there's an apostolic. And then we looked again. I said, oh, she's one of ours. We got the profile. Thank God. I found one of ours who actually looked, who was one of these things, not like the other things. And then, of course, my wife snuck up behind her and goosed her. And scared a half to death. But that's my wife. That's just the way it goes. Okay, indistinguishable. All right, let me continue. Isaiah 43 and 21. This people I formed for myself. Now look what the Lord says here. They shall shew forth my praise. Now, the word praise in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 is the only place in the New Testament where that form of the word is used. That form of the word praise is not used anywhere else. And it is the same form and derivative as Isaiah 43 and 21. This people have I formed. So God says, I've chosen you. I've called you out of darkness in my marvelous light. You're a peculiar people, royal, and you're holy, and I chose you. You're mine. And then Peter goes on to say, to do what? To show forth his praise. He was quoting Isaiah. He was quoting Isaiah. That they shall shew forth my praise. Now, the overall primary meaning of that word is to do what we did on Sunday. To shout, to dance, to praise, to glorify God. It's what we did a couple Wednesdays ago. Shout, praise, glorify God. I don't even remember when and how many times I preached this. Doesn't matter. But we shout praise and glorify God. But the foundational meaning upon which the praise sits is the word virtues. And what Isaiah was saying is that God formed a people for himself to go into the world and show the world his virtues, his goodness, his kindness, his forgiveness, his love, his endurance, his long-suffering, his gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit. You can name them all. To go forth and to show the world his virtues. Also, his hatred of sin, abstaining from the things of the world, the lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, separating themselves. This is how we praise him. It's more than just the voice, although that is certainly in the Word of God. It's more than just the dance, although that is certainly in the Word of God. It's more than running, and boy, I would do this if I was 10 years younger, and leaping over a troop or over a wall, David said, and running through a troop. He was just talking about being so excited about God that nothing could contain him. It's more than all of that, although all of that is certainly include it, but it's praising him is when you and I walk out that door
and we begin to show the virtues of God. I wish I had 5 hours tonight, but I'm gonna close here in just a moment, and we'll teach the lesson next Wednesday if the Lord will let us. But it's walking out of this building and showing love to someone, showing kindness to someone, being long-suffering with those that maybe keep failing and keep falling and say they're not going to do this to you anymore, but they do it again. God says, be long-suffering with them. Be a help to them. You see, as the chosen ones of God, we have to be careful that we don't get wrapped up in ourselves. And even for a moment to think that we might be better than anybody else that's in the world, because we're not. I am nothing without Him. You take His righteousness out of this old boy, and I'm just a bag of sin. I'm just a gross, test, ungodly ball of flesh and lust. It's His righteousness. It's His glory. It's His goodness. And one of the purposes of the church is to walk out these doors and show the love of God to a world that is lost. The true love of God. You see, real love doesn't find you. Even the Lord said, you find someone that's cold and you got two coats, and you pat them on the back and you say, God bless you, be warm. Huh? And you walk off with both your coats. He said, that's not a whole lot of love. He said, love takes off one of those coats and wraps it around them and says, be warm. Love doesn't find someone destitute and in need and say, hey, listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go pray for you. God's going to provide your need. Listen, you may not be able to provide their need, but you can do something. There's something about love that won't let you break away. There's something about love that will keep you connected, even to those that seem to be hopeless and lost and undone and have no way of having help whatsoever in any way. Love will keep you connected. And this is what God wants from His church. He wants us to go out and He wants to love them like God loves them. And let me tell you something. The Bible tells us, and they talk about grace and the grace of God, and we're saved by grace, and we certainly are. But let me tell you what the Bible says grace is. Where am I at? Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The word of the Lord says, for the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, doing what? Teaching us. What does the grace do? The grace of God teaches you. What? How to be godly in an ungodly world. You see, He does that because He loves you. Because if He comes to you and He touches you and He loves you and He walks off and He leaves you like you are, it's not real love. But when He takes out the time to talk with you and to walk with you and to teach you how to separate yourself from the world. Why? Because anything that is polluted with sin will not enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible names the works of the flesh. If He leaves you in your adultery, if He leaves you in your idolatry, if He leaves you in your lust, in your greed, if He leaves you in all of these works of the flesh, murder and thievery and all these things, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But if He takes out the time to teach you how to come out of darkness into His marvelous light, that you might show forth the praises of Him. You see, friend, there's no greater witness than when you walk out and God has redeemed you, and your neighbor knew you as a drunk, but now you're delivered, and your neighbor knew you as an adulterer, but now you're faithful, and your neighbor knew you as a thief, but now you repay. Hey, there is no greater testimony. There is no greater way to show the praises of God. He said, a people I have formed for myself, that they will show forth my praise. You see, God calls us out that we might be able to show out. I didn't say show off. I said show out. He calls us out that we might be able to show out, that His grace and glory can flow through us. I'm going to close here in a moment. Praise means virtue in this verse. Everybody say virtue. That ye should be able to publish abroad. This is this word virtue. This is what it means. That you can tell out, show out, publish abroad. The verb is found nowhere else in the New Testament. I told you that earlier. It means virtues. It means excellency, to show forth the excellences of God, to show the goodness of God, to show the wondrous deeds of God. We look at other translations of this same verse, and it says, show others the goodness of God, proclaim the excellencies of God, proclaim the wonderful deeds of God, proclaim the virtues of God, to tell about the excellent qualities of God, to make known the perfections of God, that they will show forth my praise, that they will show forth my goodness, my excellencies, my wonderful deeds, my virtues, my excellent qualities, my perfections, that they will show them forth. But if you remain in your sin, you cannot do these things. We have to come out of darkness, not into our light, not our righteousness, but we come out of darkness into His righteousness. We come out of darkness, we come out of our darkness into His light. It's the purpose of the church. And if somehow, when we get up in the morning, we can remember this, and we can say to ourselves, Sister Webb, we can say, when we look in the mirror, we can say, when I leave this house, will I be showing a dark and lost world what God has done for me? Will I be showing forth His excellencies? Will I be bringing forth His virtues? Or when I walk out of this house, will I blend in with the world? And they'll never tell me apart from anyone else. They'll never know. And I hope if they spot you and they come up to you, my prayer is that your righteousness goes deeper than the surface. And that when you open your mouth, the love and the goodness and the kindness and the caring of the Father begins to flow from you. I wish that every one of us would get up tomorrow. My prayer will be tonight for you before I go to bed. God, let this message be on their mind in the morning. And when we get up in the morning, we need to ask ourselves the question, and we need to be mindful through the day. Father, help me to show forth your praise today. See, when we come to the house of God, we can show that praise forth by the shout and the dance and all. But when we walk out there, you can't do that on the job and keep it long. And you say, well, bless God, I'm going to praise God anyway. You're going to be an idiot. I'm telling you right now, because you don't understand what praise is. You can praise Him out there. Yes, you can. But you praise Him by showing His virtues and by showing His goodness and His kindness and His love, and taking the time to pray with someone and weep over them and ask God to heal their headache and heal their carpal tunnel and heal the pain in their back and the arms, and you'll see more miracles out there than you'll ever see in here. We always want to come together and get God to show off amongst us. God's done showing off amongst us. I'm going to tell you God's attitude. He said, I'll leave the 99, I'll go out there and I'll find the one. You want God to show off? You go out there and proclaim His promises and you watch God show off. You watch Him heal and deliver and touch and minister the Word of God. This is what the church is about. This is who we are. And when we leave our homes tomorrow, we have to get that in our brains. We've got to get it in our heart. I am to proclaim the virtues of God today in every aspect. I am to proclaim His virtues in how I dress. I am to proclaim His virtues in how I act, how I handle myself, how I respond when I am treated wrong. I am to show forth His virtues on how I respond when I'm lied on, when the boss doesn't give me my due or whatever it is. I am to show His virtues, His kindness, and His love. It's what He's called us to do. And listen, if you'll lift Him up just by showing forth His praise, men will be drawn unto Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, three more minutes. It's 8:17. Let me go to 8:20. Three more minutes. So everybody say, we're called out of darkness. Say, into His marvelous light. Say, not mine. Now, here's the problem with the religious world. They are defining their own righteousness. They are defining their own light. Out of darkness into their light. This is what we defined is okay in the eyes of God. Friend, you have got to go to the word of the Lord. Listen, we are living in a religious generation that I can get up and preach straight out of this book and be jeered and booed and called a fanatic and a wacko and a weirdo and dumb and stupid, and you don't know what you're talking about, and you're in a cult, and I'm just reading out of the book. The same New Testament that they're supposed to be reading out of. But for some reason, because I decide to proclaim His righteousness and not my defined righteousness, and their defined righteousness does what? It fits the lust of their flesh. They define God so that they can remain comfortable in their flesh. God created righteousness so that you would always be extremely uncomfortable with your flesh. And listen, I don't care how close you get to God. In fact, the closer you get to God, the more you will realize just how far away you are. The more you learn about God, the more you realize you don't know. That's the beauty about this incredible word and this mighty God that we serve. You'll never, ever be comfortable. You'll always strive. I don't mean that you won't be comfortable in who you are and comfortable in salvation and these things. I'm talking about being comfortable where we are. We are the church. So it means his excellencies. We're called out of darkness into His. It's 8:20. I told you I'd quit. All right, let's stand. It was just 8:17 3 minutes ago. All right, I didn't even get to my teaching tonight, but we will. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord is going to build this thing. He's going to build it. And we are going to understand what it means to be the body of Christ. We are going to understand what it means to fulfill the purpose of the church that's in the world. And if we will, and I'm talking to my Wednesday night crowd, I understand that. You're the chosen few. You're the ones that when the manna fell at 6, you were picking it up at 6:01.
because Moses said, get it before 12. And you were out there at 6:01. You wouldn't have guys shown up at 11:59, scooping it up before it turned into worms. So I know who I'm speaking to. But if we would be honest, way too often, being in the church just really meant coming on Wednesdays and Sundays and getting our, I hate to call it a fix. Would you call it recharge? Thank you, Brother Rassler. Getting our recharge in God. And then we speak in tongues and we get full of the Holy Ghost and we get charged up. And the only reason why we're doing that is that we're hoping we can make it till Wednesday before we decharge. And then we come back to church on Wednesday, and of course there's not a whole lot of charging going on Wednesdays usually. It's just a lot of whooping going on. But we come, hear the word, and we get charged up hoping we can make it till Sunday. And that's not the purpose of the church. We come here to fellowship. We come here to strengthen one another. If there are people here that need God and need healing, we minister to those needs. But we're really ministering to one another here on Wednesdays and Sundays and strength. And we're learning the Word of God. And we're supposed to take that and go back out those doors. And the purpose of the church does not start, Brother Kwashi, until you walk right back out those doors. The moment you walk out those doors, you become the purpose of the church in the world. And I believe that God wants us to get to the place that we walk around continuously. Sister Nikki, continuously. Always having that on our mind. And if you want to get up in the morning and get a hold of the purpose of the church, get up in the morning and dial into the prayer line. It's either some of the ladies, I don't know what it is with the men. We can't get none of them to lead, but we got these Holy Ghost filled ladies. And get charged between 6:30 and 7 o'clock. And walk out of your house with the purpose of the church in your heart. I'm called out of darkness for a reason. Everybody say, show forth. Called me out of darkness into his marvelous light that I might show forth his praises, his virtues. Father, I come to you tonight. I thank you for this incredible, God-fearing group of people. Thank you for these wonderful men and women of God. Got off of a day's work and got ready and came to the house of God. Lord, I'm praying tonight. Somehow you'll get a hold of our heart. You'll change our minds and our thinking. And somehow we'll get the revelation of the purpose of this body of Christ, the purpose of the church in the world. And that you'll give us the strength and the ability and the wisdom to go forth and to show forth your praises. And that it will bleed over from each and every one of us, Lord, into all of the other brothers and sisters of Christ. And God, that this entire body, this entire fellowship, this entire assembly will somehow get a hold of the vision and the understanding that you are waiting patiently to work through us.
to show your glory and your love to a world that is lost, and to do that through us, that we might show forth the virtues of our God, and that men and women will be changed and their lives will be saved, marriages redeemed and families restored and deliverances. Oh God, we're the body. We're the body. Help us to do the work of the church, the purpose of the church. I ask it in the wonderful, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. Amen. Say, I am the body of Christ. Say, I will do the purpose of the church. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll find out what that is later, but just make up your mind, you'll do it.